Construction at Carthage College. Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha. And Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. This program was recorded on December 15th. Our program today is somewhat different in that we are taking a closer look at private parochial education in our communities. To accomplish this goal, we are interviewing several representatives of Christ Lutheran Academy, and we'll refer to it as CLA sometimes in the discussion today, and that's located in Kenosha. And they are Sarah Billings. She's a member of the Promotion and Recruitment Committee and a parent of two students or former students there. Pastor Jim Remke, and he's the pastor of Messiah Lutheran and on the board then of Christ Lutheran Academy. And Sarah Billing, let's see, Sarah, we've introduced. Greta Martin is a twice-retired kindergarten teacher from Kenosha Unified and then at Christ Lutheran Academy, and she's on the Promotion and Recruitment Committee. And then finally, last but not least, is Andrew Billings. He's an alumnus of the Academy and Shoreland Lutheran High School, and he's currently a junior at Wisconsin Lutheran College in Milwaukee. So it's good to have you with us this morning. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for taking your time to share with our listeners information about private parochial education in our community and state. So to get us started, would each of you tell our listeners about your backgrounds in relation to Christ Lutheran Academy? And it's located at 2026 22nd Avenue in Kenosha. So how are you involved in CLA? And I guess we'll just go right down the line, and we'll start with you, Sarah.
Thank you. I was involved a little bit in the planning of the school when it first opened, or before it even opened. And I became the parent of a student when we sent our daughter there when she began second grade.
Okay. And why don't you mention how the school came into being through this benefactor? We were talking about this just before we came on the air today.
Yeah, it's actually a great story. There is a woman who was a benefactress. She wanted there to be a Missouri Synod Lutheran school in the Kenosha area, and there was not one. And she offered some pretty significant seed money so that we could hire a teacher and begin the school. But she gave us a bit of a deadline. If you open the school by this date, you can have this money. And if you don't, you can't. So we did.
So you did. And saying here you are today.
Yes.
Then some, 11 years, 12 years later?
It opened in 2002, so I think we're on our, 12th or 13th school year.
12 years later. Pastor Remke, tell us about yourself. How are you involved in the school besides being pastor of the church?
Well, I was called to serve at Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha about 2 years ago, and when I was called, one of the pieces of information about the congregation was that they had Christ Lutheran Academy, for which I was very excited about. I have two young daughters, four-year-old in preschool and a first grader, and looked forward to the opportunity for them to have what appeared to be a really exemplary education. And it has proven to be that for them. They have grown incredibly and wonderfully in their academic standards. And also, I serve there not just on the board, but daily for chapel services. We begin each day with chapel.
Okay.
And we end each day with a brief closing prayer and readings from Scripture. And also, I get to teach catechesis in the classroom about the Christian faith, specifically from Luther's Small Catechism, which is one of the confessional documents of the Lutheran Church. And I enjoy the interaction that I get to have with the children on a daily basis, not only as a teacher there, but as their pastor and someone who helps guide them in their spiritual growth.
Okay. Are you a product yourself then of a Missouri Synod then elementary and middle and high school? Or?
I am not. I went to public schools all through. Even my undergraduate was at public education.
Public university.
Yeah,
or?
Public university in Indiana, and I was very happy with that myself. My wife and I had never planned on sending our child. The last parish I served at didn't have any private schools close by.
Okay.
So we hadn't planned on sending our children to private school. But when we came here, it was a great opportunity. And having seen the girls develop over these 2 years has really been, I've been very happy with it. So as a parent.
It's been an opportunity and a challenge then for you.
It certainly has been, yeah.
Okay. So, Greta, I think we'll go to you next then. Greta Martin then. I've known Greta for a number of years. Go ahead, Greta.
Okay. Well, about a year after the Academy began, I was asked to join the staff to set up and begin a kindergarten program. I had had many years of experience as a pre-kindergarten director and also as a kindergarten teacher, and this seemed to me to be an exciting challenge. I began work in the spring, and our first kindergarten class began that fall. Being I am a graduate of Concordia University, that's one of our Lutheran universities, with a master's from Carthage, I was excited to be putting my training in religion and education together. I am in every part of the curriculum, math, science, whatever. It all got put together. I am convinced that this holistic, that's my word for this, curriculum is an excellent way to educate our children. This firm belief is why I continue to be involved and support Christ Lutheran Academy in Kenosha.
Finally, last but not least, then, is Andrew Billings, and he's an alumnus of Christ Lutheran Academy and Shoreland High School here in Kenosha, and he's a junior at Wisconsin Lutheran College in Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you majoring in and so forth?
Well, I'm majoring in business management, and also as of next semester, I'll be majoring in communications as well.
Okay. With the intention of?
Well, I've been looking into either working in human resources to some capacity. I'm also interested in the possibility of working in the nonprofit sector as well.
Okay, good. Okay, well, welcome to all four of you then to WGTD and to Education Matters. So one of the interesting things I noted in the materials that Sarah sent me was that your school is grades 3K through 8th grade. And tell our listeners about how you got involved in 3K, as the public schools don't involve at that level.
You know, I believe that when Christ Lutheran Academy opened its doors, the public schools weren't even yet involved in the 4K officially. But how it came into being was that at the beginning, when Christ Lutheran Academy opened it had grades 1 through 8. And then Greta has already referenced the beginning of the kindergarten. But there was also a kindergarten readiness program that was offered by our board to a few students. It wasn't a big program. But a couple of years ago, the school moved from a location in Pleasant Prairie to its current location out of Messiah Lutheran Church. And when that happened, Messiah was already operating a preschool. And that preschool was larger than just the kindergarten readiness program. And it needed to go through some changes in order to accommodate Christ Lutheran Academy also being there. And so as a result of that move and those changes, we began to offer 3K through 8 for any student in that age range.
So parents then who are looking for a place for their three-year-old child, then Christ Lutheran Academy is a possible place then.
It certainly is, but we're not a daycare. We're a preschool, and so we have a limited, limited curriculum and limited hours for the preschoolers, both 3K and 4K.
Okay, so your focus then is not the focus of a daycare place.
It is not a daycare.
It's the focus of a school.
It's a school.
Then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how many congregations are involved in CLA, and what are the requirements for belonging to your Kenosha Area Lutheran Education Association?
Well, currently, Messiah Lutheran Church is the congregation that is supporting this Christ Lutheran Academy. As maybe mentioned in the past, it was originally founded by two congregations, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Pleasant Prairie and Messiah in Kenosha. So the Kalia Board, that's the Kenosha Area Lutheran Education Association Board, had been made up traditionally of members from both of those congregations.
Okay.
But as far as congregations that are involved in CLA, the church, the school is open to anyone of any religious background or
okay.
no religious background. But currently we have students who are attending there from Messiah Lutheran Church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Pleasant Prairie, St. Paul Lutheran Church in Union Grove. We have had students from Grace Lutheran Church in Racine. We've had students from Wisconsin Synod congregations. We've had students from non-denominational backgrounds, from Baptist backgrounds, and they're certainly all welcome to the education, but the board that governs Christ Lutheran Academy is made up currently of members from Messiah Lutheran Church and Lamb of God Lutheran Church.
Okay, and you also, I think, before that we came on the air, indicated that even if a person had no religious affiliation, their children would be welcome at the school.
Certainly. It is, as I've said with my own children's experience, the academics there are exemplary. As with any school, you're going to have things there that you really appreciate and maybe things you don't as much. So someone who's coming from a non-Christian background or a non-Lutheran background may not be in agreement with everything there,
right.
But it's a part of our education.
But they would understand that coming
certainly,
in there because
certainly.
Of your orientation as a school and the materials that you put out. Also, let's mention right here and now that you do have a website, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody give us the
I'm sure it's ChristLutheranAcademy.com.
Okay, and that
we also
that.
Have a we have a Facebook page as well. If you just look for Christ Lutheran Academy Kenosha, we have a pretty active. Well, I don't know what pretty
that
active
will take
Facebook
care of
world.
It.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe before we finish up, we'll mention the website too again, so that our listeners can have that. Greta, go ahead.
Yes, Pastor Rumke talked a lot about the structure of the board and the school, but I would like to add that if there were another congregation of the LCMS, if they were interested in joining our association, that would certainly be something we would discuss with them and consider.
Certainly.
So, yes.
So you would be receptive then to other churches then seeking to become members of the CLA.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the governing board.
Okay.
Yes. As well as students, of course, as we talked about. But of the governing board, other congregations could certainly be considered to be a part of that and join us in that.
Okay. Let's talk about the curriculum and facilities, and I think later on we'll get to the idea of the governing board as far as the school is concerned, and that is very important as far as any school is concerned. Let's talk about curriculum and facilities, and because those really determine a good part of the quality of a school or a school system. Your materials indicated that the classical education model is what you follow, the trivium. So what is that? Sounds like something that I got in Latin back in high school.
Well, the trivium is a ancient model of teaching, and it dates back to the time of Socrates and philosophers of his like. And there are three stages that are attributed to it. First, there is the grammar stage. Second, you have the logic stage. And finally, the rhetoric stage. And I can break these down individually to give a little bit more background on them. The grammar stage is essentially the building blocks of education.
Okay.
These are things that need to be memorized, such as vocabulary, rules of language, math facts like multiplication tables, things of that nature. And the logic stage is when you've received some of these building blocks and they're memorized, and you can finally begin to understand them and put them together and figure out how these facts all relate to each other and fit together. And this isn't not just understanding or not just memorizing these things, but understanding how they work and are related.
Okay, and what about now? So where did that come from? How does anyone have any know about why you decided on this curriculum as opposed to another approach to curriculum? Any thoughts on that or not?
I think it was probably the fact that we're a traditional Lutheran school, and really in Luther's age, this would have kind of been the type of thing that would have been education.
Okay, the type of education in that
and
period
so
of time.
So we were trying to be as Lutheran as possible.
Okay. Let's talk about Martin Luther and his impact on education, because I think that's really important, too. Pastor, I think you and I were talking about it before we went on the air.
Yes, certainly. The Lutheran Reformation, which sparked off in Germany in the 16th century, really placed a high emphasis upon educating the laity, educating everyone. Before that time, education was something that was primarily for nobility and for clergy in the church. It was something that was kind of closed off to everyone. But Luther saw a very important benefit in education for as many as possible, and really, really kind of spearheaded the idea of public education, that is, education available to anyone and provided by the state. The reason for this, he thought, was that this is how we make good members of society. The better educated everyone is, the better they'll be able to contribute to society, the better they'll be able to contribute to the church and culture. And, I mean, from the Lutheran Reformation, we've got such great figures as Bach. I mean, there's one of the fruits of this idea of Lutheran education is that we want to promote and advance culture and society. We want people to be productive members of society and to contribute as much as they're able to.
Okay, so this is one of the threads then that brought about public education here in the world, and here, particularly here in the United States then. Let's talk about the math curriculum, Saxon math. Where did that come from, and what is that?
Well, where it came from, a curriculum for math that you can purchase.
That can be purchased, okay.
And why exactly it was chosen is I think that it ties in well with the classical education model.
Okay.
I do have a math degree from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, so as a parent, I had seen the Chicago... I can't remember the name, that Kenosha Unified was running a certain math curriculum when Andrew was in grade school. And I had seen that, and I had some reservations about how that was connecting in his brain. And when I was introduced to Saxon math, I actually saw it as a better alternative because it really did follow the building block method rather than take, let's say, we're going to work on money this month, and then next month we're going to work on time, and then next month we're going to maybe work on adding and subtracting, and then now by the time we get to month number four, we've forgotten all about what those coins were valued at and how to tell time on a clock. Those things tended to be, in my view, a little bit disparate.
Do you have any sense for how this Saxon math fits in with, say, the Common Core state standards that are the big issue then as far as math education is today?
To be honest, I don't really know much about Common Core.
Okay,
so I don't know if anybody else on the panel could.
That does. I certainly don't. Credit?
I do know a little bit about it in that it is another brand new thing to try.
Okay.
I have been teaching for a long time, and I have seen a lot of. And, you know, maybe it's not right to call them fads come and go in both reading, teaching basic reading and teaching basic math. And over the years, I have found and seen that it always just comes right back. The pendulum comes back to the middle and it's back to the basic math facts. Now, Common Core seems to me to be a little bit swinging the pendulum to one direction or the other. Back to the middle is where classical education, including Saxon math, is. And that's what we want to keep our children involved in.
Okay. And I assume that Kenosha Unified, obviously, is moving toward Common Core state standards and that sort of thing. I've looked over their standards as far as English language arts literacy is concerned, and I was impressed with those. But I don't know that much about math, so I'm no person to judge on that. Go ahead, Pastor.
I'll say from my own daughter, who's in first grade, one thing that I think is a real strength of this this classical education with the trivium is in their kind of developmental years. And I've got one in a pre four-year-old class in preschool, and one in first grade. And the thing that I've been just absolutely amazed about is their ability to take information in, to memorize these things. And then, you know, they've got these facts. And this is what the grammar stage is doing. And I think that that's one of the – what I've seen, one of the benefits of Saxon math is it's I think that perhaps in some cases different ways of teaching math that don't focus on math facts first are kind of jumping ahead a little bit.
Okay.
So my daughter is just learning. I mean, 2 plus 2 equals 4. She's not learning any of the real concepts yet.
Uh-huh.
She's just learning the facts, 2 plus 2 is 4. And then she, you know, she knows that. And it's been a wonderful thing to see her take those memorized facts and to see the beginnings of taking those memorized facts and literally like a building block, she's building upon those things and the light of learning is going off. I can see it when she's doing homework that she's putting these facts together and beginning to see on her own how these things go from the grammar stage to the rhetoric stage where she's just beginning that. And it's really been a wonderful thing to see the use of that memorization, which comes so easily to them. I wish that I could memorize things as easily as my 4-year-old and first grader do.
That's great. Okay, now let's look at the rest of those items that I had there, art and music and Latin and phys ed and so forth, the library and so on. Comments on those? Any particular ones that stand out, Pastor?
Well, I can say with the arts and music and Latin, I received a bachelor's degree in history from Indiana University.
Okay.
And these are the things that really Western civilization is kind of built upon. Arts and music and Latin, I mean, if you want to study our Western civilization, these are important things to study. And our children are learning from the very earliest age to sing some of the great and classical hymns of the church. They're taught, they have opportunity for piano lessons from first grade every week. They have, they're putting these things together.
Okay.
They're singing hymns written by Bach They're learning through the liturgy of the church these Latin phrases and these foundations that are being built with just the Latin language, seeing kind of how it works. Even in our preschool classes, they're beginning to learn Latin words, and it's again a wonderful thing to see them flip that switch of this Latin word that I learned is like this English word, and begin to see how these things kind of developed. And that's been a really great benefit. And the children respond so wonderfully to the music and the arts in these early grades. And it's not a class that's set aside where they go for 45 minutes to sing. They're learning to sing in their daily lives, and they're loving this. My 4-year-old comes home and will grab one of our hymnals that we use, and she's opening it up and singing these, wonderful things. And I can see the kind of beginnings of a real love for music, replacing words here or there, changing the tunes a little bit.
Okay.
And she's learning these things.
Wonderful.
And my first grader loves these Latin words, and she dearly loves when she hears a word that sounds like a Latin word she's learned.
Uh-huh.
The first question out of her mouth is this like this Latin word? We've got Gloria in Excelsis is one of these, liturgical Latin phrases. And so when she hears something like that's glorious, you know, that the first thing is this related to the Latin word Gloria from the Gloria in Excelsis?
Okay, Andrew, I want to ask you, so did you get the benefit of Latin background there at CLA, too, or not? Now, I had 2 years of Latin in high school, but all I remember is Agricola Arat, the farmer plows, you know. And so that was go ahead.
I certainly, I had the first 2 years that I was there, or rather year and a half since I joined halfway through my sixth grade year, we did cover Latin, and still to this day, well, it has faded a bit for me over time, but I can still recognize the Latin root of many words, and it is certainly a useful tool for recognizing unknown words, to being able to see at least some of the building blocks that those words were formed with.
Okay, and libraries are very important, too, as far as schools are concerned. Do you have a relationship at all with the Kenosha Public Library in terms of your library in the school, and how extensive, you know, is your library?
Our school's library is relatively small, but from the Kenosha Public Library, we have a bookmobile that stops there every Monday. And it's open to the public. I mean, it stops there whether school's in session or not. But the kids love that, and they have access through the bookmobile. They have access to the entire Kenosha Public Library system.
And do the teachers then also then get materials then that that they can use then in their classes?
Certainly.
In terms,
yeah, it's a really a beneficial relationship that we have with the bookmobile, and it's something that, as I said, my children look forward to it every week. My wife looks forward to going over to the bookmobile. The teachers look forward to it, and members of the community come to the bookmobile as well.
And I know libraries want to work with schools, too, in terms of providing them materials, because there's no point in duplicating materials, and the library then can make those available. How about technology in your curriculum there? How are you doing on technology? I think that's incredibly important as we move into the future, because our kids are going to live in this technological age.
Yes, we have one computer per child in grades 5 through 8.
Okay.
So they each have their own computer. They are learning basic keyboarding skills. They also use the computers for research and for creating documents with word processing in the 7th and 8th grade. So they're getting into it. They're learning the keyboarding skills plus the actual use of the computer.
How about tablets? Are you into tablets yet or not? Okay.
No, not yet.
So your kids learn, then they can teach me how to use mine.
Okay. And they probably know, just they didn't learn it at Christ Lutheran Academy.
Well, but you know, it's so incredibly important today that they walk away knowing how to use these tools, because this world of ours is going to be, in using those till who laid the rail, I guess, so on. So anything else that makes your curriculum unique that you want to talk about?
Well, as a Lutheran school, we do have a unique spiritual aspect to our life, to our daily life in the classroom, and that is every day we begin the school day with chapel, which uses our Lutheran hymnal and a liturgical order, matins, morning prayer. We have a divine service on Wednesdays, and then Thursday afternoon we close with an evening prayer, vesper service, and this is also. It's a part of our spiritual life, but it's also part of that grammar. The children are memorizing things. They're memorizing the liturgy. They're memorizing scripture passages. They're memorizing portions of the small catechism. And this is something that really unites us together in a community. And certainly we're open to any students who would like to come there, but this is a part of the education at Christ Lutheran Academy.
Okay, and so that would certainly be expected then in a religious school such as yours.
Let me also add something here, please.
Greta.
Another aspect of this classical education is the literature.
Okay.
Now, we talked about reading, writing, math and things like that, but the literature is that the children do read classical books of quality literature, Dickens, Homer, Shakespeare, things like that.
Wonderful.
So they dig into some good literature.
Okay. Let's move on and talk about a few other things then. The information you provided me in preparation for this program indicated that many alumni did not attend CLA before middle school. From what schools do they come and why? Why did they come, at that point?
I can take this one.
Okay.
A lot of the students who did come at that time came from a public school setting.
Okay.
And we did have a few who came from a homeschool setting as well. I can attest as to why I personally chose to move from Lance Middle School to Christ Lutheran Academy my sixth grade year.
Okay.
And that was, it generally had to do with the size. With the size of a larger public school like that, it was slightly easy for me to kind of float through without putting through a lot of effort, and
okay.
I don't mean to paint Lance or public schools in a bad light saying that. I just say that from my experience, I knew that that wasn't good for me and that I would have a bit more accountability being at a much smaller school. At the time when I went to CLA, the sixth grade class that I transferred into, I was only the fourth member of that year,
uh-huh.
And when I graduated, I was only in a graduating class of two. So I had a lot more face time with my teacher and more accountability than I had at that time.
Oh, and you couldn't get off the hook so easily, huh?
Not at all.
You couldn't hide.
It was certainly a good choice for me to make in terms of my work ethic.
Okay. Well, so when students graduate from CLA, where do they go for high? Did you have something?
I do.
Yes.
As Andrew's mom.
Yes.
First of all, I would like to say that that the day that Andrew came to me and said, I think I want to go where Katie's going,
was probably
the most surprising day of my life.
Uh-huh.
I didn't expect that, and I thank God actually for that day every day. It was a beautiful thing to see that he realized that there was something better available and that at that young age, he wanted it. He wanted somebody to care whether or not he was turning in his homework at the end of the day, and to be able to do something about it. And again, I don't mean to paint anyone in a bad light, and I hope that I'm not. What I saw was that Andrew realized that that situation was not good for him and that he took it really into his own hands to make a change. And the other thing I want to say is that he mentioned that he was in a class of 4 and it ended up as 2. And in both cases, those families moved away from the area, and that's why they did not graduate from CLA. So.
Okay, and maybe this makes a point, too, as far as public schools are concerned, is that the smaller then we can get the class size then, the better it is in terms of teachers being able to keep track of the kids and hold the kids accountable then for their learning and that sort of thing. Yeah, class size has been a challenge then for those of us in public schools. Yes, ma'am.
I think that that's true, but I also think it really is dependent upon the teacher. When Christ Lutheran Academy opened its doors, we had one teacher for grades 1 through 8.
Uh-huh.
One teacher teaching 8 different years.
Sounds like the country school.
It was, but she was successful at doing it. She was very dedicated to doing it. And she had a really good curriculum to work with. So I think the curriculum goes to the quality of the education almost more than the individuals involved, because you've got the materials, and there they are.
Okay. Pastor Ramke?
Yes, that's one thing that's unique about Christ Lutheran Academy is that all the classrooms are multi-grade classrooms.
Okay.
And at first, my wife especially was very hesitant about our daughter being in a multi-grade classroom. She thought that it would be easier for her to kind of be overlooked, or, you know, she wouldn't be able to get her work done. But it's been a real blessing for us. My first grade daughter is in a classroom with first, second, and fourth graders.
Okay.
And because she's in that classroom, the teacher, because there are fewer students, the teacher is able to evaluate my daughter's individual strengths and weaknesses and play to those. So my daughter, the teacher saw that my daughter was excelling at reading, and so she bumped her up to the second grade reading materials, and she's been doing wonderfully with that, which is not something that would be able to be done as easily in just a single grade classroom. And my daughter is also encouraged, and part of that reading is when they come to chapel, they have helpers to help them with the reading. She was really motivated. She didn't want to have a helper anymore. So she studied those words in the reading until she could do it without a helper. And I think that was really the motivation for her, is seeing the older kids do this.
Okay, at this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I'm visiting with several representatives of Christ Lutheran Academy, CLA, in Kenosha as an example of private parochial education in our community and state. And this program is focusing on what is involved in operating a private parochial school in Wisconsin today. Now back to our program. Greta, did you have something you wanted to add here?
Yes, I did. Andrew talked about coming into CLA when he was in sixth grade. As the kindergarten teacher at CLA, I would have students come in, and they may not be quite old enough, they may be older, but the wonderful thing was if they came in already reading, I could put them in first grade reading with no problem at all. And I did not have a multi-grade room. I had only kindergarten. But some of the kids were reading it at first grade. By the end of the year, some of them were up to second grade or even more. Some of them were excellent in math. And some of them, because it was a small number of students, I could spend extra time with those who needed a little more time with some of the difficult concepts. When students do come to CLA, we do test them to see what level they ought to be at. And as Pastor Rumke referenced, the multi-grade classrooms are a blessing this way, because a student can be in fourth grade reading and second grade math, or vice versa. So that's a wonderful thing. So you aren't necessarily in a grade, so to speak, as you are. Maybe you are at this level in reading, that level in science, and that level in math. So
okay.
That's very individualized.
And very flexible, then,
very
in
flexible.
Terms
yes.
of that.
Yes.
Okay, so when students graduate from CLA, where do they go to high school? Do they go to Shoreland? Do they go to Racine Lutheran? Where do they go to high school? Or back to the public schools?
Well, there's actually a mixture. Many have gone on to their local public school. We've had alumni attend places like Bradford, Harborside, Lakeview, a few in Union Grove. Several have attended Shoreland like I did, and a few either graduates or former students who may have moved away as well have actually moved on to study at Wisconsin Lutheran College as well. I'm not the first CLA
okay.
student to go there.
Okay. What about homeschool students? Do you receive homeschool students at your school? And if so, give an example or two of these students, without names, of course, and how you proceed in inducting them into your school. It might be, I guess I'm thinking maybe it's easier to induct them into your school than it might be into a public school. I don't know.
Well, I can't speak to how easy it would be in a public school, because
right.
that I've not experienced from I guess it's not firsthand that I experienced it. I have seen a couple of families come into Christ Lutheran Academy having homeschooled in the past, and in some ways, the transition is not terribly huge. We have a multi-grade classroom or a couple of multi-grade classrooms.
Okay.
In some cases, you may still be being schooled by one adult with your siblings in the same room. There may be other students as well in that room. But I think there is a certain level of similarity between homeschooling and Christ Lutheran Academy. And one of our sort of tenets at Christ Lutheran Academy is that the vocation of parent is a God-given vocation, and that parents are responsible for making sure that their children are raised to be responsible adults. And there is definitely a partnership among all of the adults involved at Christ Lutheran Academy.
So in that sense, you really have an advantage over the public schools because in terms of that, because your parents see what their responsibility really is in terms of educating their children.
There is a lot of communication, yeah. and there is a lot of camaraderie among the families and among the staff and the students, and it is just a great blessing to be a part of this community. In fact, I still serve as the grade school forensics coach for Christ Lutheran Academy because I love to go and be involved, and we participate in one tournament every year. And that takes place at Shoreland, and to be honest, that's how I knew about it, because Andrew started to attend Shoreland, and I saw this opportunity and decided I would offer my services if families were interested, and that is an extracurricular activity, and it's a great one. The kids can learn to speak in front of people when maybe that's not something they would have been comfortable with, but as I tell them, better to learn it in fifth grade and get over that fear than when you have your first job and your boss asks you to make a presentation.
Okay, and maybe let's talk, are there any other extracurricular activities that your school offers, as long as we're talking about this one, that should be mentioned here?
We have a school choir that goes
okay.
around to different congregations within the Missouri Synod and sings in their divine services on Sunday mornings.
Okay.
As well as special occasions. We had a baptism yesterday at Messiah, and the school children came and sang for that.
Okay.
So that's one. We do have field trips from time to time where we'll go to different places that might be beneficial for the students.
Yes, the students do still continue going to nursing homes and assisted living places and singing there for the residents. And I haven't seen this for a while, but do you still do the steeplechase?
We haven't since I've been there.
Okay.
But that would be going to other churches.
Okay.
You know, to for their architectural value. Not Missouri Synod Lutheran churches necessarily, but there are a number of really beautiful churches that kind of demonstrate classical architecture. And that's something that they have done in the past, is to go to these different places. And it gives us an opportunity then to interact with people of other faiths, where the clergy person at that church might be able to give us a demonstration, not demonstration, but to show us the building.
Yes.
And the important aspects of that building and how that goes historically. We've visited the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. We went there for their we've gone to the Concordia University in Mequon with our upper grades, so they could kind of get an idea of college, what college is like, mm-hmm. to see that and begin thinking about that. The children have gone down to the Chicago, I think the Art Museum in Chicago they went one time.
How about Frank Lloyd Wright? I mean, this is an area for Frank Lloyd Wright, too.
Yeah, and certainly one of, our flexibility at CLA is really a benefit. We can do these things relatively easily because we have few students.
Yeah.
And the parent participation makes it such where three or four parents get cars and we take the students and we don't have to, you know, it's not a difficult thing. Yeah, it's not a difficult thing for us to do these things. And the staff and faculty of CLA are always open to these extra learning opportunities.
And I know that buses for public schools today are very expensive, and this really limits their opportunities to do things for their students. Wisconsin law has changed considerably under Governor Walker with the expansion of state-funded vouchers for children who qualify economically. Does CLA accept voucher students, and why or why not?
Well, this is like you say, is really quite new.
Uh-huh.
And we do not have any right at this time, but we are seriously considering that as an option for the 2015-2016 school year. Some of it is just kind of waiting to see what actually comes down from the governor's office. We're just beginning to gather information about this system, so we can't talk a lot about it yet, but we certainly would welcome the opportunity to come back to this radio program some other day and discuss it.
Okay. And so has this come before your board then? Do you have any sense?
It has. From what I know with the board, there are some things, some qualifications for schools that can accept the voucher system. One is to be accredited with certain accreditation boards.
Yes.
Currently we aren't accredited by a group that would be allowed by the state. And from what I understand as well, the number of schools and the number of students in Wisconsin currently is at its peak. We couldn't get into it even if we did have the proper accreditation at this point. But
okay.
we would be working towards the possibility. Because we would love to have as many students as possible experience the education that we have at Christ Lutheran Academy.
Okay. So let's also talk about, so what are the state laws that you must follow in terms of operating a parochial school here in Wisconsin? What I know that the laws are very rigorous in terms of public schools. Do you have any sense for that? Greta?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, there is only one requirement for non-public schools, and that is to conduct education for 875 school hours.
Okay.
CLA exceeds that.
Okay.
We do exceed that. And we also do many other things that you would expect. You know, we do the reading, math, science, art, PE, music, so on, with everything else a public school does not teach, such as Latin and religion. And we do the fire and safety drills. We make sure the students are immunized. We do vision, hearing, screening, just like any public school.
Okay.
And we are on the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction mailing list.
Okay.
And we're included in all the information they send out. We do complete a private school report every year.
DPI?
Yes, 2 DPI.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The county contacts us for safety and immunization notifications. And we coordinate transportation and special education needs throughout the local school district, which is the Kenosha Unified School District.
Okay, so you can work with Kenosha Unified in terms of special education.
That is absolutely
students,
true.
So.
We have had students from our school going to the Kenosha schools for special education, and we have also had special education teachers from the Kenosha schools come to our academy to serve as students.
We're really running out of time, so let's quick down to the last question there. If you were to receive a $5,000 grant from the Gates Foundation that must be used during the 2015-16 school year, how would you invest those funds? You know, 10 seconds each.
Well, first of all, I think that we feel it is so important to have students and everybody be involved with their Lutheran education. We would like to have some financial aid for students whose parents cannot